shouldn't be, you know? But I get angry. And the thing of it is, those things are nothing to get angry about. But from reading the Bible, I know that what's coming out of my life is in my mind. And so it must be what I'm thinking about or what I'm spending the greater share of my time meditating on must not be the Word of God, because that wouldn't produce that. It must be something else. It must be something else. But the Bible is really clear as you read it, okay? And your mind has to be renewed. You have to be focused on Jesus. It's so important as a Christian that he is your be-all, end-all, but he has to be your go-to, all right? And I guess the thing that I'm going to ask you this morning is just look inside yourself this morning. Are you having trouble with stuff? Are you frustrated? Are you angry? Are you just... is life just not good, you know? Then I guess I would say to you, you better start looking at what you are meditating on and start taking serious the scripture that says, and be renewed in the attitude or the spirit of your mind. Again, at the beginning of our salvation, we have a tendency of thinking of Jesus about everything. You know, everything has to do with God, everything has to do with Jesus. But as we, quote, mature, or as we grow older in the Lord, that doesn't stay that way. And maybe we don't read as often, maybe we don't pray as often, and maybe we don't fix our minds on things that are above instead of things that are on the earth. Because the things that are above are eternal, things that are here are temporal. And the problem is that when our mind gets fixed on the temporal things, it's not good. You know, you might think this is funny, but no matter what, as a Christian, no matter how bad things are going, you have one thing that you know. In 100 years, all this isn't going to matter because you're going to be in heaven with Jesus. And there are times that that simple fact is what gets you through. You can go through garbage. You can go through just bad things. And we all do, okay? We all do. I don't care how spiritual you might think you are. You go through stuff, amen? How many of you have noticed, really, that in the times when you are really seeking the Lord and when you are really going after him, those are the times that you have trouble? And that's because we face a very real enemy. And some doctrines, they can tell you, the devil, you know, he's defeated, and I know he is, and that is truth. But you know what? The Bible also tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that means my problem isn't you, okay? And your problem isn't me. That tells you that your problems are probably coming from somewhere else. And the Bible tells you that is coming from the demonic world. And again, at the beginning of our walk, when we begin to get the truths in the Word of God, we find that out, and we think, of course, it at first, oh, great, that's not me, it's the devil. The devil doesn't have any power. We have to agree with him. Come on. He doesn't have any power over you. But unfortunately, when our mind is and our attitude is fixed on the temporal things, he can speak to you. And he can be heard a lot better than God can be heard. Are you following me this morning? I want to talk to you about your attitude today. Your attitude. What's your attitude towards Christ? Well, he saved me. I love him. He's great. It's wonderful. But what's your attitude towards Christ? And by that, I mean, every day. Every day. You know, I don't know if this is going to bother you. I'm really sorry. Kyle, he is so on fire for the Lord right now. And I am so convicted when I watch him. And thank God. Thank God. But why is that attitude gone from me. Why is that being renewed in the spirit of your mind, why isn't it something that I've let just take a hold of me and change me? And why, if I was changed, is it so easy to be changed, changed again to what I was? Now, I'm not talking about drinking, smoking, running around. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the attitude of your mind. When I say this is going to be a short message, you know, God didn't tell me that. I just didn't have a lot to say when I started. But now I got a lot to say. I think when we get unfocused as a Christian, when we get unfocused and we don't focus on the Lord, we don't focus on his goodness, we don't remember. That's my favorite word, by the way. If I could change it, I'd change the vision of our church to remember, okay? It's important to remember what God has done for you. But when your mind is fixed on the temporal things, you don't remember that stuff. You don't. And then your attitude goes downhill. And then, of course, what happens? Then people see that wonderful attitude that you have, and then your witness gets ruined. Have you ever found out what it was that you're going to say when it comes out of your mouth? Not before? And you kind of go, did I just say that? And it's really sad because those type of things, 9 times out of 10, are born in your heart instead of in heaven. But again, your witness begins to suffer because of your reactions instead of your responses. By the way that you get angry, by the way, you know, and you can hide that all you want, but sooner or later it comes out. Sooner or later you roll your eyes in front of somebody when you thought they weren't looking, but they're looking. But I want you to look at your attitude, because your attitude, it just frames your whole life. And it does. If you want to focus on negative things, you're going to get negative. If you're going to focus on positive things, you might get some negative things. You're still going to battle. You're still going to fight. You're still going to go through storms. But in the end, again, your focus is on heaven. So when your focus is on heaven, you know there's a tomorrow, and what you're going through today isn't quite so dire. Did that make any sense? It did to me. So if I listen to this, which I won't, because I hate the sound of my own voice, okay. Never mind. It is so important, and I'm beginning to see, and I should be, gosh, I should know this, and I think I have known this multiple times as I've been, quote, maturing in the Lord. Now I got to ask him, did I get saved in 84? Did I get saved in 84? Okay. I realize that. See, my attitude. Okay. Over the years, and that's quite a long time, you know, 84 to what, 41 years, right? But in that amount of time, I've come to this place and sworn I would never be at that place again. And I'm just going to say this right now. It's kind of a disclaimer. My place may not be your place, okay? Yeah, amen. You know, my form of backsliding may not be your form of backsliding. Do you understand what I mean? Maybe I missed Wednesday praying. I'm convicted and I feel like I'm backslidden. I didn't miss Wednesday, by the way. But to you, it might be, hey, you fell back into alcohol. Hey, you fell back into drugs. Either way. And we, you know, sometimes we look at that drugs and alcohol thing as being, oh my gosh, don't talk to me. until you're better. But your attitude can be, I don't want to say just as bad because I don't want anybody to use what I'm saying as an excuse to go back. But your attitude has got to be renewed. And I firmly believe it gets renewed. And the more you read the Word of God, and the Word of God is the be-all, end-all. I love the Word of God. But the more you read the Word of God, the more you get renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you don't read the Word of God, you don't have anything to say. Amen. But one of the first things to go in a Christian's life is reading. And then I've also heard this. Well, I don't like to read, Pastor Wes. I don't have any other answer for that than to say, that doesn't matter. Read anyway. Okay? Listen to it on tape if you have to. Get it in your heart and in your mind somehow. But even with all of that, you can do that. You can read the Word of God, and you cannot absorb the Word of God. And when you don't absorb, your attitude remains the same. How many of you, confession time, how many of you have read your Bible, you know, your three chapters a day, right? Right? Okay, because you got to read it through in a year. How many of you have done that and then maybe thought about what you read later in the day and gone, I don't know what I read. Hey, you know? But it's true. And one thing I've done this year is I've, you know, like, and believe it or not, I read 1st and 2nd Kings and I really liked it. It was great. I slowly read it. I paid attention to every name, not that I can remember them now, but I understood as I was going through why this guy was mad at this guy, why this king didn't like this king, you know, these type of things, and I absorbed what was in there, and it was amazing. And I'll tell you what, when you see that amazing scripture, your attitude changes. This book can change you. And then, of course, that's why this book is always the first thing to go in a Christian's life. Now, don't get me wrong. It isn't that just reading is going to get you a relationship with the Lord. You have got to balance that with prayer. And I've had different times in my life where prayer is the major thing and where reading is a major thing. Then I've had the balanced times in my life when they've both been there. I guess, as I was sitting here, or standing there, and the Lord began to deal with me, and my attitude is so nice, I thought, oh, come on. You know, come on. Okay. Whatever you say, you know. But I want you to look at your attitude right now. What is your attitude towards the things of the Spirit? What is your attitude towards the things of the flesh? What's more important to you? The Jeep that you drive? Or what Jesus wants? What's more important to you, the house that you live in? Or what God wants? Seriously, what is more important to you? You know, and I have this thing, and I was taught this. I don't really think I can remember. I don't even know if a person taught me this. But in the beginning years of my Christian walk, if that door was unlocked, I was at the church. My attitude in here was, whatever God has got for me, I'm going to get it. And if I got to go to church to get it, I'm going to go there and get it. And, you know, and just as a side note, if you're feeling really rotten and really sad and really bad, you should come to church and get encouraged from these people that are Christians. Right? Oh, no, I'm just going to stay home and I'm just going to sulk. No. One of the enemy's biggest and most effective tools is to isolate you and have the wisdom at least to know that you staying at home and you, you know, coming into yourself or whatever it would be called, you know, getting into your own mind and that baloney. Understand that coming to church will get you out of that. Well, I just didn't want to go to church. What if you're the answer? What if you're somebody's answer to getting out of that dull mood, that bad mood, that sad mood? I mean, okay. Be mature enough to realize that every service isn't about you. Okay? Yeah. Be mature enough to realize that maybe, you know, this service is about Leslie. You know, maybe. And she needs this more than anything, and she needs your support more than anything. But you stayed home. Why? You stayed up too late gaming. Okay. You stayed up too late watching something on TV. Of course, you have heard that watching blue screens will keep you awake for a couple hours after you shut down anyway. But that doesn't apply to you, so never mind. See, I've got this thing about church. I love church. See, I love my workplace. How do you like that? I love the idea of church. I love being with the saints. We were on vacation last week or week before. It's been an eternity that we were on vacation. But I really, and Serena, really did miss seeing you guys and being with you guys. We didn't miss being here. But we missed being with you. What's your attitude this morning? Did you get up this morning and go, man, we get to go to church today. We get to hear the things of the Lord today. We get to be matured today or go at least a little farther down that path. Or did you get up and go, oh man, it's Sunday. You know, it's funny. My alarm went off this morning, all right? What's that? I like to snooze the alarm, okay? I don't do it any day except Sunday, right? Okay. Anyway, it went off this morning, and I went to shut it off, and about that far from my phone, this voice cried, "It's Sunday," and I went, oh! Because I got into this habit on vacation of sleeping till 8 o'clock. And, like, my schedule is, like, 5, you know. That's my wake-up. Actually, I wake up at 3:30 because I went to the gym at 3:30 for many years. And I've got this stupid internal clock that wakes me up. I don't listen to it, though, you know. But what is your attitude like? There's nothing wrong with being serious, all right? Right? There's nothing wrong with being serious. But are you so serious that you can't find joy in anything? I mean, when I think of some of the things that make me mad, and I'm not going to tell you, okay? You don't want to know. But there's no reason for them to make me mad. But where has my mind been? You know, where has my mind been? Has it been on all of the work that I have to do in the house and the work that needs to be done here? And has it been on that and everything that I have to do? And, you know, oh, and I have to write a sermon on top of that? And I do like to do that, so don't. Or has it been on, wow, when I think about what you've done for me, Jesus. I mean, my marriage was done. Absolutely done. And I had done everything that was humanly possible to cause it to be done. All right? But he put that back together. People can't do that. Your counselors can't do that. God can do that. Amen. And he can restore what you threw away and make it 10 times, 100 times better than it ever was. And that's where Serena and I find ourselves today. Once in a while we fight and she finds out she's wrong. You know, I've come to recognize that look. That isn't a smile. You might think it's a smile, but it's not a smile. But be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It doesn't say, hey, if you got time, hey, if you got nothing else to do, hey, if you agree with me, hey, if you think it'd be a good idea, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Or, as I said, the NIV says, your attitude. The thing is, what you get fixed on and what you are focused on is absolutely biblically what is going to come out of your mouth. I don't care how disciplined you think you are. Come on. You can't think about things, certain things, and not have them manifest. You can't. You say, we can't. You can't. Okay? If you fixate on something, it's going to come out of your mouth, period. That's the way it is. The Bible says that. And so why don't we choose to believe that? And you can say, well, I do. But sometimes we acknowledge things without really believing things, because if we believe things, we would do more than just acknowledge those things, we would do those things. So, if we can believe in our heart that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead, okay, we've experienced a bit of renewal, okay? Because I went to church. I was raised in the church, okay? It wasn't Assemblies of God, it wasn't full gospel, but it doesn't matter. I was raised in church. And honestly, until I said, okay, Lord, you're right. My life is a mess. Until I said that, there was no real believing, just acknowledging. Are you with me? But what is so amazing to me is you can go from believing right back to acknowledging by not letting things change your attitude. Did that make any sense? I hope so. And so what this morning is about, and in between the thoughts of I shouldn't have come to church this morning, what this morning is about is you taking a deep look inside. And you can say, well, you know, when I was younger, but it's about you taking a deep look inside. And if you're like me, and you don't have to be in the same place that I'm in, and no, I'm not backslidden, no, I'm not about to do terrible things, it's not like that, okay? It's about, why haven't I kept in mind? Why haven't I kept my mind focused on the things that are above? He said that for a reason. Everything that's said in the Word is said for a reason, okay? You know, and when in Colossians where he talks about and keep your minds focused on the things that are above, not beneath, you know, there is a reason for that. One of the reasons is your attitude. And I know we fight ourselves and we fight Satan. We fight our attitude. We fight the things we think about. And you know, there's always that yielding moment, that pause moment, even in your mind, before you say, okay, I'm going to think about that, I'm going to think it through, I'm going to really roll it over my mind. There's always that pause moment where you can make a change. You can say, no. You know, I used to stand up here in worship. And every once in a while, I'd be worshiping, and I'd go, no. And somebody asked me one time, what are you doing? I said, well, you know what happens is like I start getting these thoughts that are not mine. And I can say, okay, or I can kick them out. Well, I'm a little better at not shaking my head now, okay? But I still have to do the same thing. And if you don't have to, praise God. Maybe you need to tell me what you do, you know? to keep your mind focused all the time. But I guess what I want to tell you this morning is keeping your mind focused or keeping your mind on things above takes work. It takes work. It's not just going to happen. You don't have to do it just on Sunday. In fact, you have to do it more on Monday through Saturday. And especially Saturday night, you have to hear the Lord when he says, go to bed. If you haven't heard anything today, write that one down, okay? I have heard more excuses for not coming to church. And I appreciate those, I guess, because they end up being kind of funny when you look back on them. God help me, Jesus. One guy one time said to me, I said, hey, what happened Sunday? How come you weren't here? Oh, well, we had to clean the ferret cage. How do you answer that? You know? Clean the cage Saturday, okay? Clean the cage when you get out. I was so busy Sunday, we just couldn't find time for church. An hour and a half? I'm talking about your attitude, okay? And I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit is talking about your attitude. And that it's always important that, I usually preach probably once a year, not the same message, but I usually preach about taking inventory, you know, that you need to take inventory. And I'm really saying nothing different right now. You need to look inside. Why do you do the things you do? Why do you let the things get to you that you let get to you? Does anybody here ever have some things that get to them? Yeah. God, I thought I was alone. And so, I would say the scripture that God highlighted to me anyway today is Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Does anybody have an NIV open? I have one right here, don't worry. It might even be marked there. Yeah, it is. Imagine that. The NIV says it differently. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made new in the attitude of your mind. So, what is your attitude? And I'm closing eventually. What is it? Well, one time Serena was up here and she was reading off from her phone a word that God had given her. And a guy came up to me after church and he said, I realize that people do this, but would you tell your wife to quit texting when she goes to the pulpit? Well, I thought it was funny. Anyway, so what is your attitude? Okay, it's your manner. It's your disposition. It's your feeling, position, etc. with regard to a person. How many of you here could honestly say that you don't have an attitude towards anybody? I thought so. But it's towards a person or a thing, tendency or orientation, especially, got to get this, especially of the mind. It's like this, you know. Josh, it's good to see you. Man, buddy, good, great. Boy, what a jerk. Oh, now don't tell me you haven't done that. What is your attitude? What's your frame of mind? What's your focus? And I realize maybe, you know, I do something for a living that calls for me to be focused in that area at all times, which in, if that's the case, I probably should be fired. But it doesn't matter where you are, who you're with, it's like you got to keep your mind out of the gutter. And when we say that, we think, of course, of sexual things. I'm not talking about that. I am, but I'm not focusing on that. I'm talking about what are you thinking about other people? What are you thinking about? What do you need to do? Do you ever, ever think of God outside of your prayer time? I mean, praise God, I have a prayer time. I go in the closet and I pray to the Lord for an hour, for an hour. Of course, then you leave and you never talk to him again the rest of the day. There's something wrong with that. Amen? There's something wrong with that. If you want a relationship, I can't do that with Serena. I can't say something to her at the beginning of the day, and that's all. We wouldn't have any relationship. Of course, that might be the problem. No. I make light, but you know, if you could feel the anointing up here, you'd know what I'm talking about. What's your attitude? What's your attitude? Because your attitude will turn into audio. Are you with me? And when it turns into audio, when it comes out of your mouth, and everybody knows, and you aren't kidding anybody, because at the very beginning of it, the person that really matters knew anyway. Can we be perfect? No. I wish we could. We can be mature. But can we be perfect without making any mistakes? No. And that's why we can just praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, past, present, future, period. I'll say one more thing because I said that. You're going, don't say anything else. But there is a thing called presumptuous sin, and that's the sin that you continue to do and continue to allow in your life that is planned out, and it's done because you know that you can be forgiven. That's scary. David said, keep thy servant from presumptuous sin, because he knew, he understood that it was a tendency inside of him and inside of all humankind, okay, to get away with what they can get away with. Okay. I think this is the first time I've ever used my phone to preach. Anyway, if God has focused us today, and I'm going to close, if God has focused us today to looking at what our attitude is, he wants to change you. Amen? He wants to change that thing that takes you from here to here. Okay? He wants to change that thing that gives you a bad outlook on everybody, all people. He wants to change that. And so it would just be wisdom in my thinking that we would yield to that today. How many of you would agree? Well, I got 3, 4, 6 people agree. You want me to keep going? I'm serious. If God has said, whoa, Central Family Word Center, I know who's going to be there today. I'm going to stop you right now, and I'm going to have you preach something that's going to be about the attitude of their heart. You don't even know what it's going to be that's going to come out of your mouth. And I don't. But I know this much. I've known the Lord, not really long enough, but if you understand what I'm saying, for a number of years, and I do know his voice. And he spoke to me to speak to you about your attitude. So please don't walk out of here today and say, oh, that's nice, or oh, that's bad. You know, your opinion is your opinion. That's okay. I learned that quite a while ago. But please don't walk out of here today and just let this feel like the Bible you read every morning. Okay? Don't let it be, oh, it's done, it's over. I'm glad. Take some time this week, and maybe if you pray in the mornings, get up and say, God, help me with my attitude. I know I'm gonna. And I had no idea I was gonna preach this morning. I'm going to. In fact, I called Trudy for prayer yesterday. I couldn't take it anymore. I was getting so angry at everything. And so now I have my answer. Thank you. Why don't you bow your heads, please? One of the things that pastors do is they judge the impact of their message by the response to the altar. And that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But having said that, would you please just be honest today? And the honesty has to go to the point where you're honest with yourself. Would you please just raise your hand for a moment if you have an issue, as I preached it this morning, with your attitude? If you do, if in any way there's anything in you that can say, I realize I got to get my mind focused. I have to get my mind refocused, really, on the things that are above instead of the things that are beneath. I have to think more about Jesus than I do about my job. And I'm going to give you one more opportunity. If you, knowing that would be your attitude, if you knowing that would be something that would come out of your mouth, the many times terrible things that we think and wouldn't say out loud, but you will. If that has touched you in any way and you would say, God, help me with that. God, help, just raise your hand for me, please. I don't care if you did before or not. All right, now I'm going to do the thing that Pentecostal preachers do. I'm going to open the altar. And I'm going to ask you right now, if you had your hand raised, just to stand up. And please don't let other people stop you from getting a touch from God in your life. I mean, if anybody was ever to ask you, hey, are you going to respond to God because he's been speaking to you? Well, I can't because this lady was looking at me over here. You'd never say that. So come to the altar then right now. Come to the altar and just say, God, just change this in me. Just turn this around. Don't let this continue to happen. I want to have good thoughts. I don't want to have bad thoughts. I don't want to have negative thoughts. I don't want to have those thoughts that bring me down and bring my witness down for you. Thank you. You know, God is so good. Let me pray for you right now, because that's why I had you come up here. Heavenly Father, you see the attitude of the people's hearts that have come forward today. You know the work that needs to be done. You've known the work that has to be done. And you have set aside today for these people. And you have said, hey, listen, I'm going to call you forward today, and we're going to start a work in you. And I pray, Lord, that you would start that work, God, and the people would be just changed. I would be changed. I should probably be praying this from the altar area instead of up here. Father, make the difference in their life be so great that they would find joy in a place or in the places where they have lost it. Just restore unto them the joy of their salvation, even. And I thank you for that. And God, I just want to thank you this morning for speaking loudly and for redirecting the service. I pray that we always, always, always yield to the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray this in the name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I pray in that name, say Jesus. Come on. Let's say Jesus like he's the most powerful thing that there is, because he is. Say Jesus. Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. Stay at the altar as long as you want. We'll continue with worship as long as you want. If you feel released, then be released, okay? God bless you.